Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday, April the 28th, 2025, 4:28:25, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. Last Monday in the month of April. And this morning we're going to do something here on this program that we'd assume not do, because it's always sad to lose these legends in the Marion community, especially legends that are so connected to this radio station and really every radio job I've had in Marion since I started in radio more than two decades ago. I got word on Saturday that Sister Earlene Hatch, one of the true originals in Marion, she was on television here, she was on radio here, she started the Black Heritage Council here in Marion many years ago, had died at the age of 91. There was nobody like Sister Earlene Hatch. Nobody. And you know, we say that a lot about a lot of people when they leave us. It is absolutely true with Sister Earlene Hatch. We're going to remember her this morning with some people who knew her well. But before we do that, I want to let you hear her in her own voice, because that is really the only way to hear her. We're going to look back at the life and times of the legendary Sister Earlene Hatch.
She created Voice of a People.
I said, I want to know why you don't have any black people on this here radio station. We have a voice and we need to be heard. He said, ain't nobody, haven't anybody requested. I said, well, I'm requesting it today. He said, what you have in mind and what you thinking about, cause we call it Voice of a People. Put that down, I'll get you rest later.
She was a trailblazer.
I went to school to be a nurse for people. I wanted to help folks. I didn't think about me. And I've never thought about me. But you know, I'm bountifully blessed. I got through college when it was in vogue for black people to go to college, especially women. No women at the time. Didn't care what color you were. You were to stay barefoot and have babies and cater to the needs of the man during my era.
She had an outgoing personality.
Wider than a smile.
Earlene's great.
I'm crossing you in style someday. Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker. Wherever you're going, I'm going your way. To drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see. We after the same rainbows in, waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend, Moon River and me.
There we go.
She was a one-of-a-kind person.
Sister Hatch, did you ever think of running for office? In your life, public office?
No, I was asked to throw in the hat for a mayor of Marion. I'm not a politician. I pray for politicians. I respect them. But I'm not a politician because I can't compromise. I cannot compromise. I'm sorry. I just can't compromise. And you have to be able to compromise in some major areas. And I just can't do it.
We here at WGH talk more in the passing of the legendary Sister Earlene Hatch.
I have a purpose. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it.
There was only one Sister Earlene Hatch. She was amazing and did things her own way. And I think anybody who ever met her loved her for it. Now, I should mention the story here, and hopefully we'll hear from Linda Sims this morning. Voice of a People, the show that Linda Sims has done on this station now for nearly 11 years this coming June, started with Sister Earlene Hatch actually on another station. We were both working at another station at that time, WDCM Radio, And you know what? We're actually going to go to our first call here, but we'll come back to this because I think this is important. This is somebody who knew Sister Hatch very well, as well as I did, and got to know her well. Longtime reporter for the Marion Star and a good friend of this station and a good friend of mine, Brenda Donegan. Brenda, how are you?
I'm okay, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. Sister Earlene Hatch's passing. When you got word Saturday that she had passed, left us, what first entered your mind?
Well, that Marion had lost another icon. She truly was the black voice of Marion. And not only the she really didn't think just of the black people, but she was for all the people.
You know, Brenda, as I said, and I truly mean this, when a lot of people leave us, we say they're one of a kind. She truly was. What made her that way?
Well, she was very loving, very spiritual, community-minded. Wasn't afraid to speak her thoughts, ideals, wherever she was, and just was a very fair person all the way around. Everybody was her friend.
You know, and she started the Black Heritage Council here, which is something that still goes on today, and you said she was the voice of the African-American community here in Marion. What do you think gave her that appeal and stance?
Because she was always very kind, spiritual, and, well, let's just back up a minute. There, you looked at her, I don't care what time of day it was, she was impeccably dressed from head to toe. And if I'm not mistaken, her husband was the head of, was it Quaker Oaks, I believe.
I believe so, Bill Hatch.
Yeah. And so I think she kind of had an image there that she had to keep up, but that didn't matter to Earlene. She just was a common person. She knew everybody, or attempted to know everybody anyway. She was always very friendly, very outgoing, outspoken, yet sincere.
You know, any time you ran into her, she always had something positive to say. She was always impeccably dressed, and that's important to mention because I told the story over the weekend. When I started in radio, I was doing a show very early on a Saturday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., and it was hard to get people to come in that early on a Saturday morning because that's usually people's day off for the week. I invited her in 6:30 a.m. You know, everybody at 6:30 is not looking their best in the morning. I go to the back door of the radio station. It's still dark. A car pulls up and a lady gets out and she has a dress on, she has jewelry, she has a scarf, she has glasses, she has a hat on. You know, it looks like she just came from a dinner party. There was nobody like her in that way.
You're right. You never saw her, but what she was put together, I guess, would be the word to describe her.
You know, Brenda, you told a story on social media in which she came to see you at the Marion Star. Tell that story. That's a good story.
Well, we had met. I used to go to Christian Women's Luncheons out at the Country Club back when they had it here in Marion. And I had been nominated for some honor. I don't even remember what it was. And had been named queen. And a few days later, she called me at the newspaper and asked me to meet her for lunch. And so I did. I think we went over to Turoff. And she congratulated me again. And then she got real serious. And she told me how much she admired my integrity, my morals, my honesty and loyalty. And I don't think there was a complimentary word that she missed as she was talking. Anyway, she knew that I had started the series that ran every Friday in the newspaper called In His Service. And I originally started writing that when I got a press release from the West Ohio United Methodist denomination listing the new pastors that had been assigned to the Marion area. And I decided to expand on that and write a feature about them to more or less introduce them to the Marion community. And she just took it from there. She would stop in frequently and tell me how much she enjoyed reading about them and how she was going to make a point to go meet them. And the one thing that she said to me that will always stick out in my mind, she said that she was so glad to know that the newspaper had a reporter who knew the practices of Christianity and the Bible. And I don't know. We just became good friends from then on.
You know, Brenda, what I was thinking about her was when you met her, you know, just common courtesy, you would say, "How are you doing?" And she would say, "Blessed and highly favored in the Lord." That was her tag. And I had forgotten this until last night because she left Marion back in 2014, that when she met you, she had little mints made up that had Bible verses on them. And she would pass those out to everybody.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. She really had her own little thing going on. And as I say, there was nobody like her. I want to play this clip, Brenda, while I have you on the line. Now, this is from June 20th, 2018. Because Sister Hatch was very active in her party's politics, she was very active. I don't think people remember this. When the hospital, you and I will remember this, when the hospital, the lease was up at the hospital, she helped form a committee, a select committee that would try to negotiate between the city and the hospital to rectify the problem they were having with the lease. So I asked her back in 2018 if she had ever thought in her life about running for politics because she was involved in her party's politics. And this is what she had to say back in 2018.
Sister Hatch, did you ever think of running for office in your life, public office?
No, I was asked to throw in the hat for a mayor of Marion. I'm not a politician. I pray for politicians. I respect them. But I'm not a politician because I can't compromise. I cannot compromise. I'm sorry. I just can't compromise. And you have to be able to compromise in some major areas. And I just can't do it.
Brenda, there's no more honest answer than that, and she's exactly right.
You're right.
You know, we all think she would have made a great politician because she could speak well. People liked her. She was involved in politics. But she was not a compromiser. What she believed, she believed.
That's right. And you would never sway her to the other side.
No, but you know what was, when I listened to that clip over the weekend, I thought, you know what's fascinating about that in the world we live in now? She understood it, that she could not compromise, so she would not be a good politician. I don't know if all politicians today understand that.
Oh, absolutely. That's for sure. From the local to the top. Yes.
That's exactly right. You know, what do you think was her greatest trait? She had a lot of them, but what do you think was her greatest trait?
Well, her friendliness and the fact that she was not one bit shy of sharing her faith with others. She would have been a great evangelist.
Oh.
And she was an evangelist in my eyes.
Well, people don't remember this, and it's hard to get all these accolades in, but on Sunday afternoon when she was done at church, she would take her car and she would go to the lower economic areas in Marion. The kids would be playing in the street on Sunday afternoon, and she would get out and she would preach to those kids.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She did that. She was a very interesting lady. Brenda, how are we going to remember this woman?
Well, I will remember her as a leader, a spiritual leader, friendly. Her best interest always seemed to be in you and not her, or whoever she was speaking to at the time was the most important thing to her at that moment. And not too many people have that trait.
You have that right. And she was a good friend to reporters, journalists, broadcasters. When she came in, she always brought her A game.
Oh, she sure did.
She did.
She did.
Brenda, it's so good to talk with you and remember Sister Hatch this morning. Thank you for calling in, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
There's one more thing that I want to say about her.
Oh, go ahead.
She always smelled good. And I walked into Elder Bierman one day, and I could smell this, and I go, Sister Hatch is in here somewhere. Well, it wasn't. They were passing out at that time when they were having a sale on perfume. They would spray a little bit on a piece of paper and hand it to you. And so they handed me one, and I go, oh, this smells just like Sister Hatch. I thought she was in here. So I found out what her perfume was, and it was Taboo.
That's the perfect perfume for her.
Yes.
I like it.
Yep.
Hey, Brenda, good talking with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye. Brenda Donegan, legendary reporter for the Marion Star, remembering Sister Earlene Hatch. And that's all true. You know, I can picture Sister Hatch doing all of those things. She just had a way about her. When she came in the room, you knew it. There was no doubt about it. When she walked in the room, you knew somebody was walking in the room. But it was always fun. You were always happy to see her. She was the embodiment, really, of a good time. She just was fun to be around. There were always laughs. There were always, there was just, you know, on the tape we were playing this morning where she is singing Moon River, you know, that wasn't planned. I hadn't even asked her to do that. She just went right into it. She certainly was one of a kind. And as we continue to remember the legendary Sister Earlene Hatch this morning, who sadly died this past weekend at the age of 91, but 91's not bad, we're joined by another friend of Sister Hatch's, Marion City School Board member, Tara Dyer. Tara, how are you?
Hey, as Mother Hatch would always say, I'm blessed and highly favored.
You know, Brenda Donegan and I were just talking about that. Every time you said, how are you doing? That was her response. And when you parted with her, she said, stay the course.
Stay the course, yep. Sure did.
Tara, how did you meet Sister Hatch?
Oh, my gosh. I met Mother Hatch not in the capacity that she was doing activities with Black Heritage Council, but I met her as a friend. And she was so concerned about me being a single parent, and she wanted me to know that there were supports in the community for single parent families, and she was one of those supportive individuals. She would, like, say, here, take this and go get your chaps. She would call my kids chaps and go get them some ice cream. You know, so we go to Dairy Queen with the money, and we just sit and talk. So I met her as a friend first, and then, you know, I got active in the Black Heritage Council.
You know, Tara, she founded the Black Heritage Council, and for a long time, a lot of people felt that she was the voice of the African American community in Marion. Would you qualify her as that?
I think she was one of many, because if we, you know, give her that accolade, then you dismiss, you know, the work of, like, Mary Houston, who was the face of the NAACP. And there was a time in Marion when several activist-type people were trying to create a space for the culture and recognition of African-Americans. You know, there were also individuals of, you know, the Marion Elks Lodge and so on and so forth. But she definitely was one of the premier voices in the African-American community. And starting the Black Heritage Council gave her a vehicle for which she could be more vocal about issues and opportunities for African-Americans in Marion.
Tara, I want you to hang here on the line. I want to play a clip from an interview I did with Sister Hatch back June 20th, 2018. And during that interview, I asked her about race and her growing up years. So here's Sister Hatch on Race 2018.
In the 40s and 50s in North Carolina, we talk about it a lot today, but what were race relations like in those days?
Well, it was segregation, deep segregation. The further south you got, the harder it was. There was just no unification at all, no communication, no unification between blacks and whites. No. You were made and you stayed in your place. And everybody got along fine because the black community was very strong, caring about one another and all this. So we really didn't. Only thing it was, I noticed a difference. We used to go to the white schools as that was one of our outings. You know, one of our, you know, they say, well, we have a outside of the school activity. We're going to go maybe to this park and we're going to do this. And one of the things was they would take the black students to the white schools and we would see all this stuff they had. For instance, in our home economics, we had two machines and they were kind of old. And we saw like 9 machines where they could sew. Everybody could sew. You didn't have to stand in line and wait to make your apron for home ec. They had nice sewing machines. They had nice books. Our books the superintendent brought to our school had been used. Sometimes it's kind of nice because they would have written the answer. Few pages torn out. You'd be reading in social studies and a page would be ripped out here there, but the students had written answers in the book, so you'd be kind of glad you had those used books. But anyway, you could tell you'd be reading Dick and James and Jane, and then there was a page gone, so you had to imagine what might have happened and go on to the next page. It was we had such inferior materials to learn from. We had inferior. Everything was inferior. And it was just, and I never liked it. Mm-hmm. Field trips. We go to the white schools as a few. I said, that's so demeaning. As I grew up, I said, why do we go to white schools to let us see our deficiency? And we see, ooh, look what they got. That's not right for a child. But they didn't know any better. So anyway, I was thinking about this. But it was really, really tough and tight. But you stayed in your area. And you did. You knew what you were supposed to do.
Sister Earlene Hatch in 2018. Tara, as a member of the school board, what does that make you think about when you hear that?
Change. It makes me think of how, especially in today's political climate, that although the she had mentioned about like used books and inferior materials, we don't have that. In this climate, it's a subtle type of erasure of African American culture. I was reading, for example, that the current administration is starting to remove artifacts from the African American Museum in D.C. How we have, I think, a skewed vision of what diversity, equity, and inclusion looks like in our public schools.
You know, Tara, one thing that Sister Hatch had, and I think it was one of the reasons people felt she was the voice, she could orate like nobody. She was a tremendous speaker. When she was speaking, you could not turn away. She had a presence.
Yeah, she certainly was charismatic, and I remember Mayor Scott Schertzer. She would go to his office and just talk to him, and as if she had appointments, and even the county commissioners, where she would just demand a presence. She wasn't mean or intrusive or disrespectful, but she was truly a person that wanted to get her point across, and her being that vocal, and like we talked about with the Black Heritage Council, one of the things that she really thought was important is for us to bring in different speakers and different advocacies in Marion so that the Marion people can get a snapshot of what was happening in the world and truly try to energize and I think motivate people. You know, we had such courageous speakers, and some of them came just because they knew her, you know, and the connections that she had with different entities. But she definitely had opportunities that she had to, like, kick in the door for those opportunities, and they weren't given to her. It wasn't an easy task, especially in Marion, Ohio.
You know, I often think about that. It is difficult for minority groups in Marion, Ohio from time to time, but Sister Hatch, she really did cross barriers. We had Brenda Donegan on to start the morning. She had a good relationship with Brenda in the newspaper. She had a good relationship with me in the radio station. She was on countless times. She had a good relationship with the Schertzer administration. But I was also talking with former Mayor Kellogg last week, and he said he had a good relationship with her. So, you know, she knew these people. They knew her. And she could get along. It was never seen as an adversarial relationship, even though they might not have always agreed.
Yeah, I don't know if adversarial. I think it was mutual respect with all those individuals, and the key component was God. You know, because she invoked prayer, and she prayed for leadership, she prayed for people, she was girded up, as she would say, as she went out in the community to do the work. You know, I don't think anyone has that ability. And in some aspects, I think some people were kind of are kind of relieved, you know, that she would go out and do the work, and we just sit back and, you know, reap the benefits, you know. So it was just so funny, you know. It's like, okay, you go out and sell the tickets, Mother Hatch, and we'll work on the banquet. And she would go to City Hall and the county building and talk to people, and by the time she would come back, she had sold, you know, 60, 70 tickets, but she would also purchase them and support individuals who could not afford to come. So she made me lazy, because I just sit back and marveled at her work, you know, and just, you know, reap the benefits of what she did. And I just watched her because I wanted to model, you know, what I wanted to do in this community after her. And I did not want to take her place. I did not want to accept the baton because to me that made me sad, because if I did, that would mean that her presence was no longer available in Marion. So it's going to be difficult, even though we had lost contact, you know, over the years when she moved away and got sick. Her voice is still in my head, you know, about doing the work and, you know, like you said, staying the course and doing all, you know, the important things to thrive, for African Americans to thrive in this community.
What's your favorite memory of her? Because she could also be very wickedly funny. She was a funny lady.
Oh, God, I have so many, you know. She would, you know, invite young people over to her house, and we would have, like, sessions where we'd just sit around and talk, and she would bring out her memorabilia and just talk about, you know, ways in which you handle yourself as an individual. I liked all of the, I call them parking lot conversations after the Black Heritage Council banquets. I loved, you know, just sitting with her and eating ice cream, or, you know, she'd come to my house and she'd come for one thing and then we'd, go, you know, go down the rabbit hole and do a million more. And it wasn't just a connection that she had with me. It was like my whole family, my sisters, my brothers. We just had a great respect for her. My brother would sit on the porch with a bunch of men, and they would be drinking, you know, and they see her coming in, boy, oh boy, they put everything away because she commanded that type of respect. And she would pray for them and just keep on moving. She wasn't afraid of entering any type of a territory because she knew that God had that hedge of protection around her, and that was her mission. But she would kill me, you know, going up and talking to, you know, the people who were drinking, you know, that social club on the porch. And she would talk to people, and then she'd be on about her merry way, you know. I just have so many thoughts and memories of Mother Hatch.
Well, I haven't said this on the air, but it was so interesting. I had not spoken with Sister Hatch in a few years. It had been a few years. She had moved down to North Carolina. And 2 weeks ago, Saturday, the day she died, 2 weeks prior to that, I came home and there were three messages on my answering machine from her. And I called her up the following night, which would have been 2 weeks ago last night, and she said she was transitioning. Her mind was still fully there. Her voice was there. We talked for 3 hours, and I will never forget it. We got to the end of the conversation, and she started to sing. And she said, and I wrote it down at the time because it was such a powerful moment. She just started to sing. She said, if you look for me down here and can't find me nowhere, just come to Christ's glory and I'll be waiting up there.
Yeah.
You know, she was, and then of course it was Stay the Course and I Love You So Much. And that's who she was. And I thought, what a perfect way to end with this woman, that she got to say her goodbyes, and that was it.
Right. I just think that was so powerful. I think she also called my pastor, Jackie Peterson, and gave her some instructions as well that I don't think Pastor Jackie is sharing, because I think it was an intimate moment between them. And we'd be remiss, you know, if we wouldn't mention, you know, Linda Pickett and LaStonya Williams and Lisa Scales and all those wonderful people who were not only mentored by her, but were steadfastly by her side during these particular moments with her. She's just amazing. Just amazing.
Tara, final question this morning. How are you going to remember her, and how should the community remember her?
So, I know I got probably like 4 calls yesterday because I guess there's a rumor out there that I am in charge of all of the memorial type celebrations for her, but I am not. But I pray that I am allowed to be on the planning committee. But Linda, your Linda, I think is going to be one of the planners, along with probably Lasagna Williams and Lisa Scales. And I haven't talked to Michael Hatch yet, who's Mrs. Hatch's son, and I know that he would want to come and celebrate Marion. But whatever it is, it better be of excellence. It better reflect her love for the community, her love for God, and prayerfully we can show our love for her in this community. So we'll just be doing, I know it's going to be a celebration. I just don't know when, and I am not privy to the whatever it is, but I definitely know that you will probably be the number one outlet for us to get the information out for this big, huge celebration that we plan to have, as we plan to have in Marion, to celebrate Mother Earlene Baskin Hatch. And that's Mother, if you're saved, she would say.
Tara, thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll look forward to celebrating this wonderful life.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Have a good day. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. Tara Dyer, member of the Marion City School Board, remembering the late Sister Earlene Baskin Hatch. Yeah, she would always point that out, who died on Saturday at the age of 91. We do not have any funeral plans or memorial plans as of yet because they have not been announced. I don't know what those will be, but as soon as we know those, we will pass those along to you. And, there were so many connections with her over the years. Hold on, we're going to go to our next phone call here on the station as we remember this woman. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, did Earlene Hatch ever appear in public without a hat?
You know, I'm sure it happened, but it was rare if it did.
She was part of the community garden that Charlie Evers was part of. And she put in a garden, and all of a sudden she disappeared. And she had somebody taking care of her plot. And it was later found out she apparently got married again and moved to north of South Carolina.
Well, actually, she had been from North Carolina, and she had always owned apartment buildings down there. So at one point, she had just decided, because her husband was actually from Bucyrus. I mean, he was not from the South. So she had always planned to retire to North Carolina. And I don't know if people knew she was her age. Let's put it that way, that she was older than most of these people. Yeah, she was actually older than she was older than Charlie.
Man, I don't know. Charlie might have been a year or two older than
her. 34, and she was born in 33.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, because I remember George Kasotis going on. George is, I think he's 94 or 95.
Two, I think.
Two?
Yeah, I just saw him not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you see him?
He was out in public with his wife.
Oh, that's a patented answer. I don't know where he was out in public. Oh, okay.
Grocery store.
But at any rate, Earlene was at the community garden, and I just remember her hat. And one time I saw her driving, which was interesting. She was in a Mercedes-Benz, and she was driving westbound on Center Street, and it was a good thing it was a light traffic day. She made up her mind she was going to be in the right lane, and she stayed in that right lane till she hit State Street. So I think she was headed up to TV 39. I'm not totally sure about that, but I'll never remember, never forget that. The hat, and in that car, and motoring away through Marion.
There you go. Hey, thanks for calling.
Hi.
All right. Yes, remembering Sister Earlene Hatch, who died on Saturday at the age of 91. It is true, most people did not know how old she was. She did not like to discuss her age, and certainly I don't think anybody was going to ask. And, you know, she just had such, a matter of fact, she would have been 92 next month, I believe. The last conversation I had with her, she did reveal that her birthday was in May, I think, and she would have been 92 next month. But, you know, it was such an amazing conversation to have with her, knowing that this was the end of her life 2 weeks ago, and she knew it was the end of her life. That's why she was calling. She used the word transition. She said, I know I'm in transition. I don't know how long I'll be here. But we talked for 3 hours. I told you about the end of the conversation, but we reminisced about so many fun things that we had done over the years. She was on the Exchange Club I don't know how many times. We used to do that in front of a live audience out at Primrose. We did it on television. She went with us to the Harding Memorial one time and was a panelist. And she just was on so much. She was on this station up until 2018 when she moved down to North Carolina. She just, if you called her and she was available, she would be there. And when she came in, she was entertaining, she was informative, and she lets you know how she felt. If anybody has a memory of Sister Hatch, we have a couple minutes here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Remembering the one-of-a-kind Sister Earlene Hatch, and she certainly was that on all accounts. Nobody like her. I honestly don't know how you could ever run into anybody like her again. And it's hard to even explain why she was so one of a kind, but if you were around her, if you met her, you would understand it. And I don't know that there would ever be anybody like that again. She was, and it was almost, she had no and intimidation. It didn't matter if you were a politician. It didn't matter if you were somebody she didn't know. It didn't matter if it was a bad part of town. It was kind of irrelevant to her. If she felt she could be of help, she was going to that area. I do want to play one more clip here from the interview I did in 2018 with her. I asked her in that interview if she had any regrets. This is what she had to say.
Do you have any regrets in life?
You know, I've asked myself, what do I regret? Everything, every movement that I've been in and under, I didn't put in this, but when I was, my brother was about 12, when I was about maybe 7 years old, I had bilateral pneumonia and I died. We had no penicillin during that time. And I remember this old doctor, he come out to the house and he brought some sulfur pills and they'd crush him up and give him, and I was in a coma. I was comatose. My temperature would go so high, I would go flatline. And I could see myself. I was delusional, but I could see me. And when my temperature would go down, I would re-enter. It was like my mind would leave, and that was to save my mind. You know, you get brain damage if your temperature goes so high. You get brain damage. My brain was never affected. And I attribute it to my mind must have left, and God protected me. And they said, we'll put you on this. My brother had bilateral pneumonia over there in that bed. I was here. My mother was using tala and goat's hoofs and sheep pills, making tea out of sheep pills, feeding us, rubbing our chest with rosin and putting all kind of mustard plasters to us. There was no medicine during that time. But they gave 9 pills. You crushed them up. And you drink on those old big sulfur pills, and when I was able to intake, and that's what brought my brother and I, by the grace of God, my mother praying night and day, too, with bilateral pneumonia. Children were dying like flies. Her brother died of bilateral pneumonia back in their day, and she had 2 children, her oldest and her youngest, with bilateral pneumonia. But coming out of that and living was, you know, it was to emphasize I have a purpose. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it.
The one and only Sister Earlene Hatch, gone Saturday at the age of 91, but we certainly know where she is. We'll be back right after this short but important break.
We would stand there and watch the woman do what she wants to do with the laundry, and